The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas. Take your Bible, please go back if you will. And on Sunday nights, typically on a Sunday night, we'll get out about 7:30. Now, I want to tell you tonight that 7:30 is probably still going to hit right there, and we'll probably get out about the same time. And so I don't want you to think, well, you know, they did all those awarding things and stuff like that, so we're going to be here till 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Though I will tell you, we lock up the buildings on Sunday night at 9:30, and we still have people walking around and fellowshipping. And sometimes we try and say, it is time to go home, you know. But God's people love the fellowship. By the way, that's a sign of a good church, amen, when people just like the fellowship and you can't get rid of them. And you're not giving them anything free to stay around and get either. They just want to talk. And so praise the Lord for that. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, where the Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, And he will not, and it says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now watch it again. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's the direction he's supposed to go. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a child is known by his doings. You've heard me teach this before. A child is known by his doings. Now, what is the doings? The doings is an individual doing, collectively put together with another individual doing, collectively put together with another. Now you have doings. So my responsibility as a dad, my dear wife's responsibility as a mother, is to train our children to do the right thing. You came to church tonight. You did the right thing. Okay, many of you came to Sunday school this morning or taught in a Sunday school class. You did the right thing. You came to preaching this morning. I commend you. You did the right thing. Many of you have already got it on your schedule to come back on a Wednesday night, and you will be doing the right thing. And the greatest thing about that is you're bringing your children with you. You're training them. So the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. How do you do that? Well, you make sure that he does the right thing here, 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 and those doings make up his day. Now, Dr. Bill Rice used to say this, the Bible talks about here, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Dr. Bill used to say that that word old means state of maturity. In other words, when they become mature, they'll not depart from it. Now, it might take some people longer to become mature than other people. I've seen people 40 years of age that are not mature. I have. I've seen people that are 50 years of age that are not mature. I've seen people that are in their 20s that are mature. Now, I'm saying this. So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17 says this. The Bible says, correct thy son, listen to it now, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, what is the soul? The soul is comprised of three, the mind, the will, and the emotion. Wouldn't it be great if your child gave you rest in your mind? Wouldn't it be good if God gave you a child that would give you rest in your will? Your activity of the day, your mind, your will. How about your emotions? Wouldn't it be good if God gave you a child that would give you rest in your emotions? They are a delight to you. They are not somebody that causes you to lay awake all night and weep and cry because of their evil doing. Wouldn't it be good if God gave you such a child? The Bible talks about how in Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 15, he said this. It was an acclamation, if you would please, as he said about his own house. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, as for me and my house, we might serve the Lord. He didn't say, as for me and my house, we are thinking about serving the Lord. He did not say, as for me and my house, we just might consider serving the Lord. No, he made a very clear acclamation, as he did say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, tonight, the sermon that I'm about to give you is not a sermon that I have necessarily taken a lot of Bible notes on it. These are just very practical things that I've seen all throughout the years of helping to rear children and counsel parents along the way. But I want to give you some things tonight that will help you to understand how to raise a brat. Now, may I say, I don't think it would be wise for you to write these things down and that be your purpose, that be your goal, that be your endeavor. This is not a sermon when you write this down and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do my dead level best to raise a brat. I don't think you ought to do that tonight. I think you ought to do the opposite. But I want to give you some things tonight. Now, I want to encourage you again. Wednesday night, I'll be teaching on navigating through godly child rearing. I'm going to give you so much scripture on Wednesday night that you'll be rolling out of your ears in this place. And so you'll be here Wednesday night. Seminar one, here we go. When a baby... Don't let him cry in bed. Now, this is the beginning of raising a brat. When it's a baby, don't let him or her cry in bed. In other words, what you do is you go through and you say, well, we can't let that little precious one cry. I mean, after all, you know, if they cry in bed, it's just not right. Well, listen, they're going to have to learn to be able to suffer hardships. You know, sometimes you need to let them cry just a little bit. And by the way, watch this, if you will, because if you pick that baby up, every time they begin to whimper and every time they begin to cry, here's what takes place. That baby has now learned, yes, in their very infancy, how to control you. And so every time the baby cries, they know once they've got you trained. And so every time, once that baby cries, you come running in, you pick them up, you cradle them, you give them a bottle, you pamper them, and you, okay, you know, sometimes you have to be the one that trains the baby, and so the baby training you. Statement number one. So when the baby cries, here's what we do. We don't let them cry in the bed. We just run to them right away. You know, sometimes they need to realize that they're not going to. Now, I'm not saying be mean to your baby. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying tonight, please, and don't add to my words. I'm not saying be brutal to your baby. I'm not saying that. I'm saying please understand that even in the early days of child rearing, you have to be able to help the baby to understand who is the one that is going to be in control. Statement number next, okay? Let him say no often and say it's cute. Let him say no often. In other words, you say, go over there and pick your toys up, and that little junior rises up and crosses his arms, and he says, no. And then you look at your dear wife, you say, oh, isn't that cute? Okay, now be careful because that's not a favorable word that a young person should be. Our kids, when they were coming up, we would say, did you do that? And they would say, huh. And we say, oh, no, we're not a huh. We're a yes, sir. We're a yes, ma'am. We're a no, sir. We're a no, ma'am. And we train them over and over and over again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And still to this very day, when we ask them a question, even though the boys are grown and married and Rebecca is seeking, can I tell you, even though today they say yes, sir, and they say yes, ma'am, even though they're heading, some of them, towards their 30s, right, Jonathan? Okay, statement number three, do not give them any duties or responsibilities. Do not give them any duties or responsibilities. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says this, for this we command you that if any would not work, neither shall he eat. My dear mama and daddy did this often, and they said, clean your room, it's supper time. And we come running out for supper. And mama's first question would be, did you clean your room? And many times we'd have to say, no. She'd say, go back and clean your room or you don't eat. Amen. You say, that was a mean mama. You know, that mama taught us how to work. My daddy would wake up and he worked for the Maryland National Bank down in Baltimore City. And we lived out in Hampstead, Maryland. And my daddy would wake up, have to get up 4:30 or so in the morning or so. And he always woke us up before he left the house and said, now you come out here around the table. And he told us what our chores were before he ever left the house. Now, what did that do? That taught us to work. All right? And so teach them to be able to have some responsibility. Do not give them, I'm talking about how to raise a brat, do not give them duties or responsibilities. Be quick to baby them. And by the way, you're listening to me? Those that are quick to baby their children, that's how come we have people that are out there and they're holding signs and they're saying, I've got these rights, and you got all these riots that's going on and stuff like that, because nobody taught them a responsibility. Teach them how to work. Teach them to get outside and pull the weeds. Teach that boy how to mow that lawn. Teach that dear little girl how to help mama in the kitchen and how to fold the clothes and how to iron them without burning holes in the middle of them. But teach them how to do things. I'm saying this. I'm saying how to raise a brat. When the baby is starting to cry, we take him out of the bed immediately. When all of a sudden that young person says no, and they stand there almost, if you would please, in just utter rebellion as they say no, what takes place is we say, oh, isn't that cute? Then when somebody does this, they don't teach their children duties and responsibilities. Statement number four, never spank their children. Never spank their children. You know, the Bible talks about, and by the way, they say, well, I'll tell you what, that's the old timers way. Well, you know, those old timers would have 5 and 10 children, and it's amazing how they all turned out successful. You know, somebody said that you add that which is the board of education to the seat of understanding, whereby all gains wisdom. You'll get that now and now. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says that it says the rod and reproof. Now, what is reproof? Reproof is that which is a teaching about that which is the exposing of wrong. So there's got to be the rod and reproof. It's not just the rod. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to spank my child, and when I spank my child, they'll do better. No, not necessarily. You have to instruct them. And the rod and reproof, the Bible talks about, it says, give wisdom. But the child left to himself, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, bringeth his mother to shame. The Bible talks about how a child should be spanked, if you would please. The Bible says, and spare, it says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The word betimes simply means early. Means early. Means do it while they're young. And so be careful to do the right. Now, I'm not talking about, again, we live in such a society that everybody cries abuse, abuse, abuse. And in many cases, it's not. But in some cases, it is. But because there is that which is, oftentimes the abuse cried, you have to be very, very careful today in our present society how you do implement that, which is corporal punishment or spanking a child. You be careful how you do what you're supposed to do. Execute wisdom. And by the way, you're supposed to be wise as a parent. You're supposed to be that which is somebody that considers the way of the world, if you will please, not necessarily to adopt the way of the world, but to understand how the world is. Don't be ignorant of the world that you live in, such as all of a sudden your child breaks out and starts to do something at Walmart. I wouldn't suggest getting out a paddle and spanking him in the middle of the Walmart aisle. I think that that's not using wisdom. See, there are some things that you ought to do in a more private matter. Matter of fact, when our children was coming up and it came time for a spanking, we never spanked them in the living room. We never spanked them in the kitchen. We didn't want them every time to walk into the kitchen, get an upset stomach, because that's where they got spanked. We didn't want where we had devotions in the living room and family altar in the living room. We didn't want that to be an unpleasant thought as they would come back into the living room area. And so we always send them to our bedroom. And I remember I gave you the instance many years ago where Jonathan was just a little bitty boy, and I told him, I said, now you go and prepare. You know, it used to be when they were just real little kids, we'd come in and immediately we'd take care of business. And many times Mrs. Wells, Sylvia would be schooling them at home. We homeschooled, and she would be schooling them at home. And when she was schooling them at home, I'd say, honey, and I'd take care of it immediately because they're going to forget. You know, their memory span is so short at such a young age. And so, as they got older, we'd send them to the room. And we'd say, you go in there, we'll be in there in a little bit. I'd drink a little bit of cup of coffee, and then I'd go in and check on them. And then I'd drink a little bit of cup of coffee, and I'd go back and check on them. I remember as they got older, I remember Jonathan getting a little bit older. I think the last time I spanked him, when he was 27 and a half. And I'm just kidding. But when he was a teenager, I sent him to a room. And as I sent him to the room, I said, now I want you to go in there and I want you to prepare. Now, I meant go in there and think about it, you know, think about what you did wrong. And you know, I was hoping I'd peek my head in there and he'd be crying, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to be a good boy for the rest of my life. Oh. I was hoping I'd see that, and I peeked in there, and, you know, he's just kind of sitting there, and I thought, well, maybe he needs more time to prepare. So I went back and got myself another cup of coffee, and I drank the coffee. I went in there, and I said, now, back in those days, we'd tell him to bend over. Bend over is what we did. I had a Mr. Woody? Mr. Woody. Jonathan's 29 now. Mr. Woody is 29 and a half. And I had Mr. Woody made many years ago. And so Mr. Woody and I would walk into the room together. We became best friends. And we walked in the room together. And I remember telling Brother Jonathan, I want you, he's our youth director now, but I want you to bend over the bed. And so he bent over the bed. I saw these two big old lumps back here. I mean, I'm talking about lumps. I thought, what in the world is that? And what he had done is he went in and he got toilet paper and he stuck it down his pants. I said, Jonathan, what'd you do? What'd you do that for? He said, you told me to prepare. All right. Now, I'm saying this. But we used to send a man. But you know, if you want to raise a brat, never spank them. Never spank them. Always defend them in school. Statement number five. If you want to raise a brat, always defend them in school. Always take the side of your kid. Always take, well, you know, he's an angel. Well, you know, she's just so precious. She could never do anything wrong. She's just my sweet little girl. Always take the side of your child. By the way, you listen to me. One day you're going to be gone. One day they're going to have to stand on their own two feet. And one day they're going to be somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife. They're going to be somebody else's father, somebody else's mother. And you have a responsibility before a holy God to train your children to be the one that's going to play that part. Statement number six. Criticize the leaders. Criticize the leaders. Teach your children not to trust authority. Just criticize the leaders up one side, down the other side, and you can't trust anybody. And by the way, if you teach them that in the house, it's going to come out in the public. And later on, they won't trust policemen. Later on, they won't trust city officials. Later on, they won't trust other people as well. You know, teach them that they can trust people. And by the way, that's not saying that people are perfect, and neither is it saying that all people are right. But I do believe this in a general sense, that all people have goodness on the inside and they try to do right, if not all the time, from time to time. So teach them that people that are in authority have been placed there by God, and by God, they certainly ought to be able to stand in being in the right when, of course, your child is trying to show that the right is wrong. Statement number one, I'm saying when a baby, I'm talking about how to raise a brat, when a baby, don't let them cry in bed. Just every time they whimper, every time, oh, are you okay, honey? Oh, are you okay, sweetheart? Are you okay, son? Darling, are you okay? And you just take them up and you cradle them. You know, you've got to train them up in the way that they should go. Statement number two, let them say no and get away with it all the time. No respect, just standing there, no, I don't want to do that. No, you help them to do what is right. Statement number three, I'm talking about how to raise a brat. Do not give them duties or responsibilities. Do not, hey, look, if they have a room, they ought to have the duty to clean the room. If they have dirty clothes, teach them where to put it. Give them duties. As the girl becomes a young lady in her teenage years, teach her some household responsibilities to do. Teach her a little bit about cooking, and teach her a little bit about laundry care, and teach her a little bit about organization. As the boy, I've said this often, if you're a teenage boy, shame on you if daddy has to mow the lawn. Shame on you. You ought to get out there and mow the lawn. Get out there and care for the bushes. Get out there, and if mama wants to plant a garden, you get out there and plant it for her, and just let her tell you where to put the plants. Later on, you're going to eat them anyway. I'm saying this, don't give them any duties or responsibilities. Statement number next, never spank them. Statement number five, defend them in school. Statement number six, criticize their leaders. Statement number seven, don't ever say, I love you. Don't ever say, I love you. I'm talking about how to raise a brat. Let your children know you love them. Let your children know that you have the right responsibilities. You have God first, then you have your family. Then you have your service for God. You know, let them know that your priorities are right. Let them know that you care. You know, sit down. Have those small talks with your kids. Go out and talk a little bit. Spend time with each other. Help them to understand that you care about them as an individual and that you're not so busy about the day's affairs that they themselves are just not important to you. As your kids get older, I'm going to tell you now, you're going to have to spend time winning their heart back over and over and over again. And when your child begins to shut down on you, then there should be an indication saying something is not right here. Statement number 8, give them everything they want. Give them, I'm talking about how to raise a brat. Give them everything they want. They say, I want an iPhone, you go buy it. They say, I want the newest one, you go buy it. Well, I want an iPad now, you go buy it. I want this, and I want that. And then they say, my daddy said, I'm going to give each one, I got three brothers, one in heaven. And he said, now you three boys, I'm going to make sure. I gave Dave a car, the oldest boy, and said, I'm going to make sure that I give each one of you boys a car. Oh, we were just so happy. But Dave went out and got a ticket. Very first week, he got a car. And not only that, within about a month, he wrecked the car. So my daddy came back and got all the three other little boys together, and he said, I just want you to know, your brother got a ticket, and he went out and wrecked the car the week after. He said, I've changed my mind. He said, giving a car doesn't work. He said, so I'm making a new decree. Oh, we were sitting there. We thought, oh, man, we're going to kill Dave. He said, here's my new decree. My new decree is when you can save up and buy a car, prove to me that you can put insurance on the car and gas in the tank, then I'll let you buy a car. But until then, God bless you. You got legs. Walk. I was 19 before I got my license because he did not let us get our license until we could get a car. So the rule was you buy a car first, and now I'll let you get your license. No sense in getting your license if you don't have a car. And I said, yes, sir. So I bought the cheapest car I could find. I mean, Brother Crutcher, the cheapest car I could find. I bought me a Vega. A Vega. It drank more oil than it did gas. It's a sporty-looking thing, little four-cylinder. I could get it up to a whopping 35 or 40 miles an hour. Statement number next is never teach your children the Bible. I'm talking about how to raise a brat. Teach your children the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. Teach them the Bible. Have a family altar time. Have a family devotional time. Talk about the things of God while walking in the way. Find out what they're thinking as they become older teenagers. You know, what do you think about that? As I was an evangelist for 12 years and I traveled the nation, many times I preach in churches across the nation and we get in the car and I'd say, okay, what do you think about that? And or I'd be preaching a message and I'd say, okay, hey, what'd you think about that message? What'd you think about that one truth? Now, by the way, listen to me. The Bible does say that train up a child in the way he should go and when he's old and not depart from it. But understand this, understand that there may be a time, now I'm trying to help you a little bit, there may be a time when your child departs from the truth a little bit. Come on. I've seen people backslide for a little bit. Now, that doesn't give them an excuse. I pray for you. I pray that your child never backslides. I pray that they'll be faithful to church from the kindergarten through the primary department, from the primary department to the junior department, to the junior department to the teen department, from the teen department to the college department, from the college department to the altar department, from the altar department to having children and rearing them and nurturing, admonition of the Lord. But it might not be so in every case. Now, you never give up on your child. You always love your child. I was witnessing my dear wife and I, we go out soul winning on Thursday nights together. Then on Saturday, I'm out all day. And I was witnessing to a man yesterday. And I think it was Brother Sweatman that was with me, one of our good deacons. And he came with me. And I was witnessing to a man at the door yesterday, a sharp-looking fella. And I witnessed to him yesterday, and I explained to him that once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. I said, It's like the family. When you get saved, you have that relationship with God. Now, you will never lose your relationship, but you may lose your fellowship. You may lose your fellowship. See, listen to me, kids. Mom and daddy love you. They're rooting for you. They're on your side. They want you to do well. They want you to please Jesus. They want you to please Christ. They want you to have the blessings of God on your life. And all of a sudden now, when you start to go the wrong direction, they're still pulling for you. They're still rooting for you. They're still trying to encourage you. They're still trying to help you. Did you notice the story of the prodigal son? All of a sudden, when the prodigal went and he wasted his life in substance, riotous living, wasted his substance in riotous living. Did you know this? That daddy didn't chase him. Daddy let him learn his lesson, but daddy still loved for him. I can imagine old mom and daddy sitting on the front porch and they're rocking in those Jewish rocking chairs and drinking Jewish coffee and reading the Jewish Times. And all of a sudden, here comes that prodigal running across the hill and they see the silhouette of their son. And as they see the silhouette of the son, daddy just gets overcome and he gets up out of that old Jewish rocking chair, throws that Jewish Times down, puts the Jewish coffee to the side, gets up, scurries down that hillside and goes up to that boy and he embraces that boy and he loves that boy. He was so glad the boy was coming home. One of the good things that our church has been known for is trying to restore people when somebody gets off and they start to go in sin and they start to go wrong. And we'll try to help them the best that we can. We can't help them all if they don't want help, but we try and help them the best that we can to be able to bring them back to the Savior and to love them and help them and encourage them to be able to stand for God. I'm saying this, you'll give them everything they want. Don't teach them the Bible. Another thing is always trust your child. Always trust your child. One of my boys came to me one day and said, Daddy, don't you trust me? I said, I don't trust any farther than I'd throw you. Paul couldn't trust his own flesh. Why in the world should I trust yours? If Paul couldn't trust his own flesh, that means I can't trust my flesh. And by the way, the Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. So you can't trust your flesh. But always trust your child. Statement number next, scream at your children. Scream at your children. I grew up in a home where my dad and my mama, they'd always holler at each other, holler at each other, yell at each other, scream at each other, holler. And I, when I was just young, I made some decisions. I said, I'm not going to do it. I just won't do it. I will never holler at my children. I'm not going to holler at my wife. I made some decisions long before I got married. Said, I'm not going to holler. I'm not going to raise my voice at them. I'm just not going to do it. I'll get their attention, and then I'll teach them from there. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that as an individual, be careful that you don't lose control and push your kids away. My Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So don't provoke them. Don't push them away. Statement number next, I'm saying this, and I'm almost done. Let your child come and go as they please. Don't have any limits. I'm talking about how to raise a brat. Let them rule the roost. Let them come and go as they please. Don't have any limitations on them. Don't have any barriers on them. Don't have any securities on them. Don't have any guidelines on them. All right, now you need those things. Everybody needs those in their life. I preached to a lot of youth, and I was preaching a huge youth conference, and there's 1,000-plus teenagers that was there over in the Philippines, and one of these young people came to me and said, I wish I had a daddy that would only tell me one time, no. Yes. I don't have a daddy that tells me no. I wish I had rules. I wish I had what most of your kids are griping and complaining about. Is you wish that you had a mom and daddy that didn't have any rules. You know, there is young people all around the world that would give the right arm to have a mom and a daddy that loves them enough to be right. Able to have some rules, some regulations, some procedures, if you will, please, some limitations to be able to help. And by the way, listen, if they're good rules and they're righteous rules and they're holy rules and they're rules that's going to help you, why in the world would you get mad at something like that? If they're there to help you, then thank God for it. Statement number next, make sure that they're popular. I'm talking about how to raise a brat. How to raise a brat. Make sure they're popular. By the way, don't put dating in their head way too young. I remember years ago, I heard a man that was out in the hallway, and he had a boy, and they're a little bitty girl, I'm talking, this boy is probably 8 years of age, and a little bitty girl, about seven or so. And the man said, look at that girl. She's pretty. Maybe she'll be your girlfriend. Now, I got that dear brother, and I said, no, don't do that. Don't put dating in their head when they're that young. Let them learn to play with dolls, and let them learn to play, not him with the doll, but let them learn to play with soldiers, and let them learn if their girls play with dolls and stuff. But don't put things in their head before they're ready to be able to chew on it. Understand it, digest it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying how to raise a brat. Make sure that they're popular. Make sure they're popular. We teach our kids around here, you sing a song and somebody comes up and they say, great song. We tell the young people to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't take it upon yourself. Well, thank you so much. I did a good job and I know it. No. No, train yourself to be right. Statement number next, okay, and I'm done. Let the TV be constantly on to babysit them. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I love you. But some of you need to make a covenant with your eyes and make a covenant to protect your children's eyes as Job did do. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because that TV will indoctrinate. Will indoctrinate. You be careful that you don't bring. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to have this in my house. I'm not going to have that in my house. But you already do. And it's indoctrinating you. And it's indoctrinating your children. Be careful that you don't bring the wrong things in the house where all of a sudden your little ones are picking up the wrong things. And by the way, can I tell you, the world is not getting more righteous. The world is getting more wicked. And so you have to be careful to protect your children in such a way that they know the right direction in which to go. Now, I'm saying tonight, there's ways to raise a brat. Now, you be careful that you don't put some of those ways in your children's life. Be careful that you don't take those things and put them in such a way that all of a sudden, and by the way, you can tell when your child, if you love your child and you know your child, you can tell when they begin to change, even marginally so. You can tell. You can watch the way they sit in church. You can watch the way they pay attention. You can watch the way when you give them a command, they don't listen. And by the way, listen to me. When they're young, that's when you have to focus more. Oh, don't you miss Wednesday night. But when they're young, that's when you have to focus more on them to be able to get them to go the right direction. When they're very, very young, that's when their character is so moldable that you could help them to make right decisions. And then later on, here's what they're going to do. They're going to come back and they're going to say, Dad, thank you for that. Mom, thank you for that. Thank you for teaching me the right way to go. Thank you for teaching me about the instructions in which I'm supposed to follow. And by the way, you said, well, what if they don't follow all of it? Well, if they catch some of it, it's better than catching none of it. It'd be far better. Look, I said to our church, we're big on teaching Bible doctrine, and we're big on teaching practical living. And I thank God for the music. We keep our music right, and we keep our Bible standards right, our dress, and all these other things. But can I tell you, it is so very, very important that we understand that the church does not have the responsibility, nor does the academy, nor does our Bible college have the responsibility to rear your kids. We're supposed to assist you. You're supposed to rear your kids. I've said often, if we have a brat in Sunday school because he was a brat at home. Now, I have a responsibility to give you Bible and show you Bible and show you what the Bible teaches about your child rearing endeavors and your relationship. And that's how come we have retreats, couples retreats, and have special speakers that come in and ladies conferences and the Baptist Leadership Conference and so many other conferences to help our church, to help our people, because there's a great love that we have. But now wait, even though we have all those things are add-ins. You get to hear some of the greatest preachers and the greatest teachers and fundamentalism that walks behind that pulpit. What a privilege that is. I mean, you get to hear people that have the hand of God resting on them. What a privilege that is. But you can't look at that and say, well, I tell you what. Now, by the way, that does help. That does add. Amen. I go to the doctor, and I'm closing now. But I go to the doctor, and I say, now, doc, I tell you what, I'm not feeling well, and I need you to look me over and tell me what's wrong with me. I'm aching here and I'm aching there, and things aren't right in this area. And so tell me what's wrong with me. And he does just a complete checkup. And he says, now, Michael, he said, here's what's wrong with you, and here's the medication. The medication. I got the medication for you. And you take this medication, and you'll be doing swell in about a month. But you got to take it every day. Every day. And I say, okay, doc, thank you so much. And I walk out of there and I pay my bill. I go home and I get the medication. I bring it to me and I put it on my shelf. One morning I forget. The next morning I say, oh, I tell you what, it's just, I don't feel like taking that stuff today. Why swallow that stuff? I'm in a hurry. I mean, it's going to take me all of 2 seconds to swallow that. I'm in a hurry. And before you know it, whatever illness that is, it takes over the body, and now the body is ruined. Now, isn't that true in church? You come to church, and the man of God gets up, or we have a special speaker that gets up, and they give you what the Bible teaches about a certain subject matter. Now, it's there for the taking, but you have to take it. You have to digest it. You have to say, I'm going to put it in, and then let God do His good work in your life and in the life of your family.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.